It's time for Chew on This, your health and wellness headlines and media propaganda report with Dr. David Friedman and Miss Tell It Like It Is, the author of the Skinny Bitch book series, Kim Bar Nguyen.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. Our first headline comes from ABC News. What's really in your beer? If you think it's just hops, water, yeast, malt, and barley, get ready for a shocker. Add to the mix high fructose corn syrup, fish bladders, and a foaming agent called propylene glycol, an ingredient also found in antifreeze. These ingredients have been linked to causing obesity, allergies, hyperactivity, and gastrointestinal problems. When ABC News asked Anheuser-Busch and MillerCoors whether or not they're using these questionable ingredients in their beer, they replied, "No comment." Kim, summertime is synonymous with the phrase, it's Miller time. Do we need to change that to it's antifreeze time?
Yeah, this is so disturbing. You know, the average American drinks about 21 gallons of beer a year, and it's the third most popular drink in the United States. So this is pretty alarming for beer drinkers because it's disgusting. And besides the other things, the lovely things that you listed in the beer, it also has MSG, sulfites, GMO sugars, food dyes, BPA from the bottles. I mean, the list goes on. This is so disgusting and disturbing, and I'm so happy I don't drink beer.
It was shocking. You know, the federal government does not require beer companies to disclose their ingredients of brewing processes, and didn't make sense because I know other food and beverage companies are legally required to divulge ingredients. But I guess not beer. Beer remains a secret.
Yeah, this is weird. I know that they supposedly have this, you know, special secret ingredient that they don't want anyone to get out. And now that we know what they're putting in is their disgusting secret ingredient. But it's very alarming, and it's unbelievable that they don't have to label what's in there. It just goes back to, you know, we have a right as consumers to know what we're putting in our bodies, and they don't have to and to disclose it. And that's crazy.
Yeah. The big surprise to me was learning it contained high fructose corn syrup. You know, we always hear about people getting beer bellies, and that certainly would explain why. High fructose corn syrup not only causes obesity, but it creates an addiction signal in the brain that makes you crave more. So this would explain why having a couple beers for most won't satisfy them. They want more. And of course, that puts more money into the beer company's pockets. And think about it, Kim. How many people do you know could have 6 12-ounce servings of orange juice or, let's say, lemonade? But I'm saying for lemonade, it's tougher, but they can do 12 of beers. I couldn't put that in my bladder. I don't know how they do it. But there's that addiction thing that makes them crave more and more and more. And maybe it finds room in the bladder because of the antifreeze.
Right, yeah, and no wonder there's digestive problems. This is one of the things that happen when you're drinking this. Of course, the antifreeze will really do it to your stomach now, doesn't it?
Oh, that sounds delicious, you know. And what's interesting, a can of beer contains about 100 to 150 calories. So that's not a lot when you compare it to a medium vanilla latte from Starbucks, which is 300 calories. So two lattes is equivalent to 6 beers. But if you add that high fructose corn syrup to those beers, now you're really padding that beer belly. So, I mean, this kind of made me go, aha, because I've always wondered why they call it beer belly. Beer's really not that fattening if you do it in moderation.
Right. And, you know, and the amazing thing is that people, and it's summertime, so that's, you know, this is the drink that people are going to be reaching for this summer in boatloads. So watch out, people. Be careful what you're drinking.
Exactly. You know, and you and I have talked about the benefits of wine, but beer actually has health benefits. It reduces kidney stones, great source of soluble fiber because it's made from barley, which actually has heart health and lower cholesterol properties as well. It's a great source of B vitamins, and it actually been linked to stronger bones because it's rich in silicon. But in moderation, it's not bad. But with all these chemicals, even one's bad for you now. So what are we going to believe?
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's terrible.
Ridiculous. So Avani Hari, also known as the Food Babe, is heading up a petition to have beer companies disclose their ingredients, so you can sign that petition. You can go to foodbabe.com if you want to demand they list what these ingredients are in your beer. Our next headline comes from, Good Morning America. How clean is your kitchen? Investigators decided to give some home kitchens a surprise visit with a former New York City health inspector. Surprisingly, people who thought their kitchens were grade A spotless received C scores, and some would have been shut down if they were a restaurant. Kim, this brings up a great point. We want to eat at restaurants with a high health score, but we don't think about the health conditions of our own kitchens.
Right. Oh, this is true. And it's, you know, you said it exactly. When you see the scores of restaurants, you know, that really determines whether you're going to go in there or not. So to think that your kitchen might not be passing is definitely something to think about. But you know, in one of my books, I had talked about how to clean naturally, and I'm so glad that I did, you know, tons of research on this, because it kind of reaffirms my, you know, being a little nitpicky in the kitchen and trying to keep things clean and using natural cleaners so that I know that I'm doing the best job in my kitchen.
Well, there's a lot of hidden places for bacteria to harbor in a kitchen. What's one of your favorite tips for a healthier kitchen?
You know what I like is grapefruit seed extract. I usually disinfect my cutting boards with those and just kind of clean it with the extract and then let it soak for about 30 minutes.
That's great.
Another couple ones I use is baking soda. I use white vinegar and water in a spray bottle, and tea tree oil and some water in a spray bottle as well. Those are some really good ones that I use, and it disinfects and it's antimicrobial, and it's really great for cleaning as well.
So you bring up a good point. I've recommended tea tree oil for skin conditions and antibacterial, but I never thought about that. I do the vinegar, a little squeeze of some lemon and water, but that's actually a good advice to add a little bit of tea tree oil.
It's good because it disinfects things, and it smells good, and it's a really great cleaner. I started using it a few years ago, and it's wonderful, and that's how I try to keep, you know, mold from the bathroom too, and keep everything smelling and cleaning fresh.
Yeah, you know, one of the most cross-contamination culprits in the kitchen is the sponge. And, you know, people use this, Kim, to clean their dishes, the sink, countertops, and then they let it sit. And diseases form in these sponges. It's awful. So I recommend, you know, throw your sponge in the dishwasher or soak it, like you said, in water, lemon, maybe a little tea tree oil, and it'll sterilize it. And also that kitchen dish towel, Kim, if people see stains from last Thanksgiving meal, probably a good time to wash it.
Right. No, you're right. Those are definitely two of the things that carry the most germs. I mean, you think, you know, your hands are dirty and your dish towel looks a little grimy too. You know, it's time to throw that in the washer. But yeah, the sponge is definitely a big thing. Cutting boards is another thing for me. I always make sure that, you know, we're using separate cutting boards. You know, my husband is not a vegan, so he's, you know, cutting up chicken and stuff on the cutting board, and we disinfect those and don't use that to cut up vegetables as well.
Yeah, you make a good point. If somebody touches chicken and then they actually hit their water on and wash their hands, when they touch that faucet again to shut it off, they've recontaminated their hands. So it's so important to look at that, you know, the faucet handle as well. And also,
right,
the,
exactly.
Yeah, trash can lids are another one that people don't think about washing. And also, of course, the refrigerator handle. Like, God, that's probably got three Thanksgivings ago germs behind it.
This is going to make me want to go clean my kitchen now.
You know, and I think that's
I'm
the
going
big thing,
in for so deep cleaning.
You're going to tea tree oil your kitchen, folks. You've got to get in there, and you'll be like, I get people going to peek behind their refrigerator. They're going to look behind their handle and say, oh, wow, what's that? I haven't eaten that meal in like a year. Sounds
exactly,
great.
Exactly. So folks, so go in there with some tea tree oil and clean your kitchens today.
Clean your kitchens. And you know, you eat a nice sanitary place there just like you would your restaurants. Treat it the same. And that concludes another Chew on This segment. It's great information. You know, we are your dynamic duo of due diligence. So if you see any headlines that you want us to digest, you can always email them to us at chewonthis@toyourgoodhealthradio.com. And you can follow Kim on Twitter at HealthyBitch. Get all her books, great informative information. You can follow me at Dr. David Friedman. More to come after this short break, so stay tuned and stay well.